Well, this is the last Sunday. I am so glad that you have participated in this with us. This has been a little experiment for our church to figure out how to start our year off well, how we can start by focusing on equipping our families to be people of faith, people who live out our faith 24/7. We've had a lot of great classes taught by couples who I think have some great, valuable stories to share, experiences that will help us become better and more like Jesus Christ. Now, if you missed some of these, a lot of these will be available online soon. So if you go online, you can look on our Faith and Family banner, click on that, and you will be able to hear the sermons as well as some of the or all of the classes on audio format. So go online. I don't know if it's up there today, but it will be up there soon. And share them with your friends. There's a lot of people that you know who could benefit from this experience here, this information. And so share them. Post them on Facebook. You know, let people know what we are able to experience. Let's start off with a word of prayer, and then we will read Deuteronomy together. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here together today. Thank you for just this opportunity to be able to speak your word for these people. Thank you for your spirit who is poured out on us. Lord, thank you for giving us a purpose and a vision. Thank you for allowing us to be people who can bring a little bit of the kingdom of heaven to earth. Lord, I pray that today as we sit and listen that the message doesn't stop here, but that it continues to work in us and through us, that we will allow your spirit to work in us as we interact with our family and our friends. Lord, in those situations where we are uncomfortable, when we know we should be speaking life, we should be speaking your name to people, there are moments that we are afraid. Help us to not be afraid. Help us to overcome our fear, not only of being bold and proclaiming the name of Jesus, but help us not to be afraid of what it is you have for us, how you want to transform us personally. Lord, transform our family, transform this church into your image. Help us not to be afraid, but help us to boldly go forward with you in our sights, you as our goal. Lord, we love you, and we are flawed people, but we boldly declare this morning that you are our God, and we are your people. In the name of your Son, Jesus, amen. Well, let's stand one last time and read the Shema, Deuteronomy chapter 4. We will have you memorized it? If you have, you can go ahead and just quote it as we read it together. Let's read this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give to you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. You may be seated. I encourage you to continue to speak these words. Speak them in the morning. Wake up to them. Go to bed to them. Put the name of God on your heart and on the hearts of your families, on the hearts of your children. Put the name of God on the hearts of others. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Be that person. Be that family. You can do it. Last week we spoke about renovation, how even the best of us need it. Remember we talked about that positive curb appeal we all really want to have? We talked about how so many people spend time and money pursuing this outward glow, the things that people can see, the outside, whenever it's the inside of us that really needs the attention. I mean, after all, isn't that what God is all about? Isn't that what he sees? For man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. So my question last week was, what does our heart look like? What does the heart of our families look like? Because God is in the renovation business, and he's ready to get to work, and he's ready to transform us into his image, but he will do it from the inside out. So that brings us to our question this week. We know we need renovating, but what exactly does that process look like? What does it look like whenever God comes in and begins to transform us into his image? And let me repeat that. Whenever God transforms us into his image. I mean, how many times have we tried to do that on our own? For me, it's been a lot, I'll be honest. Sometimes my efforts end up looking quite comical because they aren't really based on the plans of the architect. And I know I'm not alone. I know some people in here, you are do-it-yourselfers. So I thought it'd be fun to show some pictures of some do-it-yourself repairs that may not have gone too well. So let's just do a couple of these. Here we go. People have tried to remodel their own shower. How many of you done this? Raise your hand. Halford, is this you, buddy? I don't know. This seems like something that... Okay, let's go to the next one. Here we go. Okay. You can't really see this. But if you look, they really tried to stop some leaks with some foaming. Did not go over very well. If this is your house, I'm so sorry. I just got these off the internet, okay? Here we go. This is something. Maybe it's a style. I don't really. Okay, here's the next one. Okay, that's a good one. Just in case you really want to sit down in that particular spot. And finally, this is one of my favorites right here. Like new. For sale, 10,000 OBO or trade. Have you ever felt that you were trying to sell yourself to the world like new? There are people in this room today who desperately want to be like new. A lot of times we end up looking like that, don't we? Good news is, if you let him, God won't make you like new. He'll make you brand new. Get your Bibles ready. We're going to be in two passages today. We're going to be in Philippians 2 and then 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So mark your places in both of those particular references. So last August, I'll say it again, we had this opportunity of remodeling our home. And we actually bought a home that was being remodeled. And Jeremy, our contractor, said he would remodel it for us. And he said something that I will not forget. As we're talking, he says, I was going to do a Tennessee accent there, Bill, but I don't know if it'll really work. But he said, he goes, I spent a lot of time in this house. And the thing I remember is that it's got good bones. Is that close? No, not at all. Sorry, I tried. He said, it's got good bones. I said, what does that mean? I want a house with good bones. I like good bones. So Shelly said this before in the past when she's talking about houses in her neighborhood growing up. But he says, I spent 4 hours in this house, and there's issues, but it's got good bones. And I thought, what does that mean to have good bones? Well, what I found out is that it means it's solid. You can do rearranging, you can remove walls and such, and it's going to be okay. You can renovate it, and it's not really going to damage it. Now, it's built in 78, but today, doesn't it seem like a lot of the homes that are being built so fast that the craftsmanship is all but taken out of the process? When I thought through this series, I was talking with Russell and some other people, I was thinking through this idea of good bones, this idea of what does it mean to have a solid structure, to have a family that is solid, so that when transformation comes, we can stand up to the test. I used to think of the process of transformation as being, immediate. Once you became a Christian, God transformed you into his image, and it was right then and there. And I think to a point that's true, but realistically, don't some of us need a lot more work than others? I know I do. Jesus was baptized. The Spirit descended on him like a dove, and then the Spirit immediately sent him out into the wilderness for 40 days. Transformation begins at baptism, and then it continued through the desert and beyond. And I think for myself, and really, I think transformation begins in the desert. I was listening to a class, The Unexpected Family, what happens whenever things don't quite turn out like you thought they would. I tell you, for some people in this room, Shelley and I have experienced it, and I'm sure we will again, we are in a desert experience. Things have not turned out as we wanted them to. This idea of what life should be like is nowhere near what our life is like. Transformation is happening there. So 26 years ago, I'm knocking on a door, and a guy answers it, and I remember asking him one specific question. I looked at him, and I said, "Hey, if you were to die tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity?" And I remember that moment because I've asked it before. And I remember that conversation, and he wanted to follow Jesus. He decided right then and there he wanted to follow Jesus. He thought that an eternity without God would not be good. So I thought, this is fantastic. Now, it was a little awkward because he wasn't fully dressed at the moment, and it was a 30-minute conversation. But what I think was so interesting about that is that as I think back to that question, I wonder if there isn't maybe a more appropriate one. Like, what if you were to live for another 30 years? What if you were to live for another 30 years? What kind of person will you become? I was always focused on dying tonight. What if I were to live? What kind of a person could God transform me into? I mean, I want to be stronger. I want to be brighter in 30 years. I want my family to be brighter lights as well. Now, I know that everything else decays, everything else dims, but the purpose of God does not. Salvation is only the beginning. And I think our salvation is permission for God to begin working in us, through us. Now, Paul addresses this in Philippians chapter 2. This is what he says. He says, "Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling or arguing so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life." Do you want to have good spiritual bones? Let God fulfill his purpose. Can I let him do his work? Or do I continue to grumble and complain? When things aren't going my way, do I gripe? Do I complain? Do I take my ball and go home? Or do I see it as God abandoning me? Or do I see the circumstances that I am in as God helping me to transform into his image? I think if we allow God to do his work, then we will become blameless and pure, children of God in a warped and crooked generation. Are we pure? We let God do his work in us? Are we children of God? You know those people, don't you? You know child of God, right? Those people around you who seem to shine. There are those people who stand out. I know several of you in this room right now. You shine to me. You're bright. I know for me, whenever I ask God to renovate my life, to transform me into his image, transform my spiritual home, I'm sincere. But honestly, I only expect him to come in and rearrange a few things. But he politely asks me to step aside and to let him do his work. When I turn around, I notice that my furniture is now out on the curb. The walls are gone. The flooring's all been ripped up. There are exposed lights. There's wires. There are, I don't know, things that are now able to be seen that I could never see before. I mean, nothing is where I thought it should go. And the floor plan that he is developing is like nothing I've ever imagined before. And it's scary, it's uncomfortable, and for some reason, it's exposed to the outside. People can see in, and that's all, it's a little uncomfortable for me. This is becoming like no house I've ever imagined, and quite frankly, I pitch a fit, and I decide to tell God that I don't really need your help anymore. I'll do it on my own, and so I take it back. And since God doesn't force his way on us, he steps aside and lets us do whatever it is we want to do. And whenever I fail, whenever I can't quite fix the things that need to be fixed, God asks me, let me fix it for you. Let me continue my work. And I continue to tell him, no, I got it. And in the end, I find myself clinging to this unfinished life. I find that I've somehow become comfortable with this level of disarray, with this level of gutted out house. But then the storms come and the rains start pouring in and the wind beats down upon me. And I wonder, where is God? I wonder, why doesn't he protect my family? I wonder why my family doesn't seem healthy. I wonder why others don't want to take part in my life, why they won't listen to me or my story. I wonder why I'm not making a difference in the world or bringing others to him. And I wonder and I cry and I pray as I sit inside my dusty, cold, unfinished home. And God simply says quietly, let me finish. And I say, just finish a little bit. Don't touch anything, though. Just finish a little bit. And he says, let me finish my work. And I say, maybe start with the outside, okay? People can see the outside. That'll make me look better, but don't touch the inside. Let me finish my work. How about you work in the guest room? Nobody ever goes in there. Work in the guest room. Let me finish my work. But if I let you finish, everything will look different. I won't know where anything is. Let me finish my work. But how will people recognize me if everything looks different? Let me finish my work. But this is my home. My life, if I give it to you, I won't have anything left. Let me finish. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He wants to finish his work in you. In your family, will you let him? And why is he working at all? Why is he continuing to ask us? Why does he bother? Is it so we can look better? Is it so we can become more satisfied with our lives and feel better about ourselves? Is it purely for the knowledge that we'll get to go to heaven when we die? I mean, why does he want so badly to finish? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, this is what it says. It's a long passage. It says this, because we understand our fearful responsibility to the Lord. We work hard to persuade others. God knows we are sincere, and I hope you know this. Are we commending ourselves to you again? No. We are giving you a reason to be proud of us so that you can answer those who brag about having a spectacular ministry rather than having a sincere heart. It seems we are crazy. If it seems we are crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we are in our right minds, it is for your benefit. Either way, Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we will all have died to our old life. He died for everyone, so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died, was raised for them. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun, and all of this a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Talk about a man who underwent a spectacular renovation. God began his work in Paul, and God is transforming us as well so we can help him reach the world. That's why he does his work through us. We are God's plan A for bringing hope to the world. Does Christ's love control us? Can we let go of our old life? Can we stop evaluating others from the outward appearance? Can we allow God to speak through us? Can we let him renovate our life? Can we tell people, please, come back to God? God wants to transform you. Can we let him do his work in us, in our family, in our relationships? Can we let him finish his work? As we bring this series to a close, I wanted to tell you that everything we've talked about to this point helps the process of transformation. We open ourselves up to God and his way. And I'll give you six things. You are a person of influence. Brian mentioned this earlier. You are a person of influence. Don't outsource your spiritual responsibility for your family. Take it. Own it. You are influential, and as I said before, you are God's plan for reaching the world. Number two, let God be your foundation. Build your house on the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ, and when the storms come, your house will stand firm. Number three, your words have power. You have power to build up. You have power to tear down. In your family, in your sphere of influence, your words create a reality. So are you speaking life? If you aren't, are you speaking death? Your words have power. You are called to bless others. Remember, blessing puts God's name on other people. It also helps to cast an imagination for what's possible, especially to those around you who need to know what's possible. Number five, remember, God's not finished with you. Let him begin his work in you. Even the best of us need renovating, transforming. We're not perfect, and that's okay because he wants to make us into his image. Let him begin his work, and finally, let God finish. When we give him control, when we submit to the desert, when we submit to him, he will give us good bones. Allow him to use you to reconcile the world to Jesus Christ. Because allowing God in, it brings us and our family and our communities closer to salvation. He's faithful to complete the work he started. Let him. God be with you. I'm going to encourage you. Be that family. Invite God in. Let him do his work. We can start right now. We have water. I'm ready. What's keeping you from letting God begin his work today?